Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the regular board meeting of the California Regional Water Quality Control Board, Lahontan Region. My name is Peter Pumphrey. I'm from Chalfont, and I am the chairman. I want to thank the members of the public for coming to our meeting. We do a better job when you participate in the issues that come before us. At this time, I would like to introduce the other members of the regional board. Keith Dias from Rosamond. Don Jardine from Markleyville. Eric Sandell from Truckee. Dr. Amy Horn from Truckee. And our newest board member, who's been a sworn member of the board for 11 minutes, Kim Cox from Hellendale. The assistant executive officer is Lori Kemper. Ms. Kemper, could you introduce the staff?
Yes, I'm going to do what Peter did. People can hear me okay without a microphone. Today, we have Sue Gennaro, our executive assistant, and she's here to help make the meeting run as smoothly as possible. You can give her the orange cards if you wish to address the board, and if you have any questions, you can ask for her assistance. I have my division managers, Mike Plasiak from our Victorville office, and Chuck Curtis, and then I have staff, Cindy Minton from our Victorville office, Jay Cass, as well as John Morales and Mike Cooney, and then Rob Tucker is here. Also, I think we have folks from the State Water Resources Control Board in the audience today, Matt Howard, and I didn't write the other guy's name down, sorry, but I know he's Mr. Bagelin. Yes, okay, from the State Water Resources Control Board. And then in addition to that, we have our chief, we have Kim Niemeyer, who is our legal counsel from the State Water Board's Office of Chief Counsel.
Thank you. The regional board will be considering many items during this meeting. Although we must use our time wisely, we encourage your input on any item so that our decision will be based on all available information. If you wish to speak on any agenda item, please fill out an orange card indicating which item you wish to address and how many minutes you need. Although we do not administer an oath in most proceedings before the board, we expect all statements made before the board to be truthful, with no attempts to mislead by false statements, deceptive presentations, or failure to include essential information. We also ask that you obey our ground rules, which are: trust everyone with respect. This includes board members, board staff, and anyone who testifies, as well as your fellow citizens. This means no personal attacks, no violent, contemptuous, or disruptive behavior. In the interest of everyone's time, please communicate your ideas clearly and efficiently. So that we can develop an accurate administrative record, we ask that you speak only after you are recognized, and at that time, come to the lectern and speak to the agenda items. If you do not follow these rules or become repetitious, I may ask you to be seated. Any person aggrieved by any action or inaction of the regional board, including but not limited to the issuance, modification, or rejection of waste discharge requirements, administrative civil liability, or a cease and desist order, may petition the board, State Water Resources Control Board, to review the decision. The State Board must receive the petition within 30 days of the regional board's meeting at which the action was taken. Board staff will provide you with copies of the regulations about filing petitions if you request them. They are also available on the State Water Resources Control Board's website. The first item on the agenda is consideration of adopting the minutes of the regular board meeting of June 19th and 20th, held in Lee Vining, with the one note that the board minutes themselves do not reflect that they were in Lee Vining.
I move that we adopt the minutes.
Second.
Is there any discussion, comment? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
I will abstain.
Item 2, Executive Officer's Report.
Thank you.
All right. All right, good afternoon. I am going to give a brief executive officer's report. And in your executive officer's report, there is item 5, which I know some folks are interested in. And it's an update on the Silver King Paiute Cutthroat Trout Restoration Project, Rotenone application to restore the Paiute Cutthroat Trout in Silver King Creek in Alpine County. And I just wanted to give the board an update on this. This has been contentious and very, it's taken a long time to get here. But just recently in May, there's a federal court that dismissed the injunction that was in place against Department of Fish and Game, which is now Fish and Wildlife, as well as the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. So the United States Fish and Wildlife Service, the Department of Fish and Wildlife, California Department of Fish and Wildlife, are proceeding to apply Rotenone this summer in the Silver King drainage. And I just want to remind you a little bit about the chronology, because several years ago, this board, some of you were members of the board at the time, made a decision not to approve a permit. It basically took no action on a permit. And that was when the California Department of Fish and Game at that time was the project lead. And there was a number of issues that seemed to be unresolved. And at that time, the California Department of Fish and Game went to the State Water Board, and the State Water Board adopted a permit for that project. Then there were some lawsuits that were filed, not against us, but against the Forest Service, actually, for their violation of NEPA and some other things. And the California Department of Fish and Game had adopted a negative declaration for the project. Basically, that put the whole project on hold. And then subsequent to that, the California Department of Fish and Wildlife let the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service know that they no longer wanted the money or to be any part of this project. And the folks at the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service office, they were in Reno. A year or so later, they decided they would become lead on the project. And we actually were partnering with them at that time, and we were going to be the lead agency under the California Environmental Quality Act to move forward on the project. The folks at U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service took a fresh look at a number of the issues that have been raised and were more willing to look at additional ways to avoid the use of Rotenone in certain locations. For example, they installed gill nets at Tamarack Lake. That was the one lake that they were planning to apply Rotenone to. And they did that over a series of 2 summers, and they determined the lake was, in fact, fishless and did not require Rotenone treatment. So that was removed from the project. They also took over lead agency for an environmental impact statement. And like I said, we started scoping the project as we were going to be the California Environmental Quality Act lead agency. And then the state of California Department of Fish and Game at the time said they would partner with their federal, you know, fish agency. So there was a joint EIR-EIS certified by those two agencies. And this board, subsequent to that, did vote for an NPDES permit to allow the use of Rotenone for this project. And so we have a permit that we this board adopted. And one of the things that permit does, it does require more monitoring than the previous permit. And it does require quite a bit of pre-project investigation and inspection, because one of the issues some of you may remember was the chance that there were native insect species living in springs that Rotenone would kill and you would never get back. And one of the things that they're going to do is make sure that they're going to really see whether these springs require treatment. And since they're going this August and the flows are so low, it's likely that they won't have to treat any of the springs, because the springs are now separated from the streams below because of how dry it is. So they're planning to do the project in late August. And the only other thing that I wanted to update on that, I think it's the last sentence of your EO report. It says that we will perform compliance monitoring of surface waters before, during, and after. And I can tell you that U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is required to do that monitoring. We generally will take some water samples to verify that the data, just like we would at a wastewater treatment plant. Unfortunately, we currently don't have a commercial lab contract in place. We're in the process of updating our lab contract, and it may or may not be ready at that time. So we will definitely be on the ground with them, and I think it's more important that we are making sure they avoid treatment in certain areas, and then they conduct the project, you know, the way they say they're going to, and that we can kind of oversee their sampling, even if we're not
taking separate samples to laboratories. But we will collect samples. They have a couple-week holding time, so it's possible we'll be able to have those samples analyzed in the fall. That's when we expect our lab contract will be in place. So. And then the other project I was going to update you on was item number 8, which is the Caltrans Highway 58 expansion project. And Caltrans is preparing, they are preparing to build a new section of highway between here and Cramer Junction. They're going to elevate Highway 58 through the community of Hinckley. And as part of that project, the actual alignment is a little bit south of the current Highway 58 alignment. It involves Caltrans doing some property acquisition, including some of the residents who are being impacted by chromium discharges from PG&E. And some of those folks already chose to stay and have ion exchange systems installed, and now they're being bought out by Caltrans. And I wanted to just let you know that that project is moving along. They did approve their final EIR on June 27th, and it's on their website for like a 30-day just kind of public viewing, I guess. But then they are going to be moving into planning and design of this their preferred alternative. So our staff, Lisa Dernbach, has been going to their meetings and has worked closely with Caltrans and PG&E to make sure that none of the infrastructure that PG&E has installed related to the cleanup or their monitoring is going to be impacted. And PG&E, I think Caltrans and PG&E have, there's a couple of monitoring wells that have to be relocated, but otherwise the other wells are all staying in place. They'll just have collars installed so that they're not buried, essentially, as part of the construction. And that's all I have. Any questions on any of your EO items?
Are there any questions from board members? Mr. Jardine.
I have a question of council. Can I comment on the UCP road mill?
On the road mill project? Yeah.
Sure, we don't have anything pending at this point. It's already been
in my other capacity, being on the Alpine County Board of Supervisors, when you're notified of this order, our Alpine County Board voted unanimously to oppose this
project, right? And I think you voted against it at the board meeting, too.
Yes.
Yeah. But I think he was the only one, actually, in that meeting. So we'll have to go back and look at the record, Eric. Yes, I do remember that, Mr. Jardine. So, and then, actually, one thing I just wanted to add real quickly is item number 11, which is about a record of decision at the Air Force Plant 42. Normally, the board themselves will hear an item to approve or basically direct Patty to sign a record of decision, such as this one. This Patty is basically treating this particular site similar to a lot of our underground tank cases and also some of our other soil-only cases. This case does just involve contaminated soil. There is no threat to groundwater. There is no measured contamination in the groundwater, so we feel that there's low risk to water quality, and therefore she does not plan to bring this before the board, that she'll sign the record of decision. And as staff has indicated, if there are any changes between what we're fine with what we've seen, but if there are any changes, then we will inform the board of any of those changes before the final certification of the record of decision.
Any other comments or questions? Mr. Sandell?
No.
Mr. Diaz?
No, thank you.
Ms. Cox?
Dr. Horn?
Nor myself. Item number 3, public forum. Any person may address the water board regarding a matter within the water board's jurisdiction that is not related to an item on this meeting agenda. Comments will be generally limited to 5 minutes unless otherwise directed by the chair. Any person wishing to make a longer presentation should request an extension from the executive officer at least 10 days prior to the meeting. Comments regarding matters that are under development for future meetings or not within the Water Board's regulatory authority will be restricted. Is there any person who wishes to make public comment at this time? Thank you. Item number 4,